From the nation's leading supply chain university program, we welcome you to the Penn State Supply Chain Podcast, brought to you by the Center for Supply Chain Research. Here are your hosts, Steve Tracy and Irv Grossman.
Welcome, everyone, to the Penn State Supply Chain Podcast. Today is episode 26, Agile Supply Chain and Our Marine Corps Fellows. In the ever-changing landscape of higher education and military training, partnerships between academic institutions and our armed forces have become increasingly crucial. And here at Penn State, we have one such partnership with the United States Marine Corps in the form of our fellowship program. Today, we're joined by two of our Marine Corps fellows, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Adam Taylor, so I'm going to be calling him Adam today, and Major Sean O'Rourke. And we're going to discuss Penn State's Marine Corps Logistics Fellowship Program, how it has honed their professional skill sets and helps to support their military strategies for agile supply chain. So welcome, Lieutenant Colonel Taylor and Major O'Rourke.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
So let me just start with sort of some basic questions, gentlemen. Can you each share, and you can go in order or in tandem if you like, a little bit about your professional and your military backgrounds?
Yeah, sure. I'll start. As you mentioned, Adam Taylor, I've been in the Marine Corps for 19 years. I am a supply officer by trade as my military specialty. I also have two additional military specialties as a recruiting officer and civil affairs. My previous job before coming to this fellowship, I was a battalion commander for a combat logistics battalion. Over 300 Marines, where I was responsible for providing logistical support to an infantry regiment over 4,000 Marines, anything outside of their organic capability. I've deployed three times, Iraq, Afghanistan, and to Germany supporting special operations in Africa. Lived all around the world. This is my 11th PCS move to here to Penn State, and just enjoy what I do. It's truly a great opportunity to serve this nation, and to come here to Penn State and be selected is a phenomenal opportunity.
My name is Sean O'Rourke. I'm from Minnesota, Minneapolis originally. I went through University of Minnesota and commissioned in the Marine Corps in 2008, and I got the designation as an 0402 logistics officer, which is the schoolhouse is in Camp Johnson, North Carolina. So after that, I went on to 1st Battalion, 8th Marines, an infantry regiment, deployed twice to Afghanistan in a two-year period there, and really kind of cut my teeth as doing motor transport operations, running convoys, and then doing kind of, you know, what we consider low-level tactical logistics of pushing supplies out to some of the infantry units that are kind of on the cusp of the frontier, doing combat operations at some of the more austere outposts and a couple places in Afghanistan, Kajaki Sofla and Musa Kala. After that, I got a tour in the Pacific, much more greener pastures. I went out to Okinawa and was aboard the 31st MEU, so did distributed logistics from a ship, and I went over to 3rd Maintenance Battalion, where I was a company commander for a depot maintenance company that essentially did secondary repairables for vehicles and worked on motor transport assets, some of the more heavy things that organizational maintainers can't do on their own. Large organization, did sort of dispatched operations and recovery operations throughout the Pacific for our various exercises that we did with multinational partners. From there, I went to the schoolhouse, taught at Logistics Operations School, and kind of made that next generation of logistics officers and motor transport operators. And then from there, I've kind of been in the training education pipeline for a while, where I was at Officer Candidate School and really kind of took a step away from logistics for a while and focused more on just some of the academic development and what we're looking for in talent management for that those guys. And then returned to logistics in the Marine Aircraft Wing, and I was out in Marine Corps Station New River for a Marine Aircraft Group of about 3,000, six flying squadrons of the MV-22 Osprey, which was really a fantastic experience, seeing how aviation logistics is just so different than a lot of the tactical ground logistics in the Marine Corps. But overall, very tactical experience, not a whole lot of time outside of that realm. So getting this experience to come here to Penn State is just a fantastic deal for me.
Well, thanks, Sean. And I would be remiss if I did not thank both of you gentlemen for your service to the country, to the United States Marine Corps, certainly on my behalf and certainly on behalf of the college and university and all of our podcast listeners. So really appreciate listening to everything that you've done. And I'm sure you have a lot more ahead of you in your careers with the United States Marine Corps. So let's get into our main discussion here. For those of you who don't know, which I'm going to make an assumption that most of our podcast audience doesn't, can you share a little bit about the Marine Corps Logistics Fellow Program and how you were selected?
So every year, for lieutenant colonels, there's a top level school selection board. And for majors, there's a commandant intermediate level education board. And what they do is they take the top 20% of that population each year, and they reward them with some sort of resident type of professional military education, from being an executive fellowship to a Fortune 500 company to doing foreign PME with Norway or Australia or Canada, or to doing academic fellowships like Sean and I are here at Penn State. For Penn State, only logisticians and supply officers are allowed to come here. And then I can tell you from experience and talking to people who have previously been here, it is the number one pick that everyone is trying to get. And luckily for Sean and I, we landed on our number one and we had the opportunity to be here, but highly competitive, highly selective to be here. And, you know, just again, grateful, great to be here for both of us.
So let me give our audience a little bit of background details on the program from our perspective. So the Fellows Program condenses our Master's of Supply Chain Management degree into a one-year hybrid program, and it is done in person. Actually, next year we'll be standing up the first instance of our master's degree program that we've had for, gosh, over two decades in person. So Sean and Adam are going to miss out on that, but they also get to spend time in a combination of courses with our MBA students in the classroom as well. And I've had the privilege, they probably haven't, of having these two gentlemen in my classroom the last semester, but that was a fun experience. And it always has been a fun experience for me. I've had every cohort of Marine Corps fellows for the last 9 years. And so that'll change in the fall with the standing up of our new master's degree program. But the program was designed to fast track two senior leaders, senior officers. And notice, it's only two, right? So I'm sure this is a budgetary constraint for the Marine Corps. But as Adam mentioned, it's highly selective. Now, nearly every graduate, I say nearly, if not all, have advanced one or several ranks since the completion of the program. And I do have the privilege of being friends with one of our very first Marine Corps fellows, Lieutenant General Bob Rourke, who's retired now. And after he got his third star, he worked in the Joint Chiefs of Staff, both as the J4, which is the senior logistician for the Department of Defense, and later as the J1, which is in charge of military personnel. So Bob did okay for himself. Maybe someday I can say that I knew General Taylor and General O'Rourke. But it has been true that this program has really helped a number of our Marine Corps fellows with their career. So back to you, gentlemen. Question, have you adapted to academic life after all of your experiences in the military? And have you had any particular challenges or unexpected benefits that maybe things that you didn't think about?
I can take this one. Yeah, coming in, you feel a little bit like Billy Madison walking onto a college campus after doing 16 to 20 years in the Marine Corps and, you know, being in that world for as long as you are. And you come in and it's a little bit intimidating, right? Because you're surrounded with a cohort of, you know, for us and the in-person classes, second year MBA students that have some work experience and they have a heavy academic background where they have school much more recently than us. Some international students that bring in experiences with overseas corporations and U.S. corporations combined. And then the undergrads that are fresh out of the undergrad experience, I'm taking a certificate in business analytics and haven't touched statistics. I haven't opened a statistics textbook since my sophomore year of college. And even then it was just basics. And these guys, you know, they have math majors and statistics degrees and some workforce experience, and it's a lot. So acclimating to keep up with them at first, it was very intimidating. Over time, you find, hey, we got a lot more in common than we do different, though. And I think that, you know, it took about, I would say, half a semester to kind of get stride and realize, hey, what we have in common and what I really need to get caught up on. And once we've done that, it's really just become such a rewarding experience to be surrounded by these folks. And the staff here is just unreal.
Adam, you want to add your own flavor to that?
Yeah, I would. So just for context, as I mentioned before, I came from being a battalion commander and Sean was an executive officer. So our jobs were extremely busy, very, very busy. And to get here, and based off the way that the curriculum's designed and the way the faculty teaches and having the opportunity just to sit and learn and think has been instrumental, because we haven't had that opportunity for ourselves. As Sean mentioned, from the faculty to the fellow students, not just the diversity of people are here, but the diversity of thinking and the industry experience they brought in just surpassed my expectations of what we were going to be able to experience here. The challenges you mentioned, similar to Sean, you know, refreshing on a regression model. Maybe some normal distribution was a little bit, had to refresh on those types of things. But once you get into this curriculum, just the help and the support of the faculty and staff, it's been amazing. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It's been a highlight of my military career thus far. So it's been awesome.
Glad you gentlemen are having a good experience and a challenging experience, which is kind of what we really want. Can you gentlemen talk about the curriculum? Like, how does the curriculum match up with the real world challenges that you face as military officers, right? So it's a completely different perspective than our general audience, but, you know, how has it influenced your decision-making, your thinking, the way you perceive, you know, logistics or supply chain in the military? What are some of the things that you're taking away from it?
From my experience, so starting out, I know I kind of talked through my background quickly, but it's all been very low-level tactical, right? It's interesting to think about. The dynamic in the Marine Corps, we're a very tactical organization. The Army and a lot of the other joint forces, they dabble into operational level planning because they're just the scale and volume of those organizations are so much more. But for me, my history has only been, hey, how do I get this set of supplies from this warehouse to these guys that are here? Logistics you can see. When you get to a program like this and I'm learning about things like, you know, manufacturing strategy, procurement strategy, supply chain modeling, optimization, these aren't things that, you know, even after 16 years in the Marine Corps that I've touched, I've done the job of tactical level logistics and keeping warfighters supplied on, you know, the front lines and they're keeping their jobs going. So the ability to come in and, you know, learn academic and corporate vernacular, hey, this is what they're doing in industry. Hey, this is best practices of what we found supply chains have done to make their business better. And getting that lexicon, it really sets you up for success to be at the strategic level where both of us are going following this experience so that you can apply that knowledge and kind of have parity with some of the folks that have been doing this for years.
I didn't go over my bio in as extensive detail as Sean did, but I have had the opportunity to be at the strategic level. I was a special operations planner where I dealt with the joint staff and looking at, you know, pre-positioned assets across the globe and all that. And one thing I learned, and as most people know in the military, it's a very, very slow process sometimes to get things done. And from your class, specifically with strategic procurement and being able to be agile and shift suppliers and look at different tiers and things like that, it's easier said than done when you're looking from a military perspective and all the restrictions that you have to adhere to with cost and what that does to the mission and everything. So learning from industry perspectives of things that can be implemented into the processes that we currently have, I think has just been amazing. And looking at the jobs that we go to next on how we can apply those principles and hopefully instill that into some of our processes.
Now, kind of flipping the script here a little bit, when you think about the military experience and your role that you bring to the classroom with the learning environment, how do you think that plays into the both the classroom experience, as well as for the other people that are in the classroom with you who, you know, I know we do often have other people in our classrooms that are prior military, right? But you're active duty military. So how does that flavor add to the classroom experience from your perspective?
So from my perspective, I think we're bringing a lot to the table because we look at it from a different lens and how you have all this data and there's decisions that are made that have secondary or tertiary consequences. So it's very strategic in nature. So we're looking at it holistically based off our experience and not just, as Sean mentioned, a tactical decision for now. What is it going to do later? So that's how I kind of look at what we bring to the classroom. You know, 19 years of experience, our bios are very different, but we've all been experienced different levels of logistics and supply that's been tied into some industry level as well.
I'll also add too, I think the military career in general, you're going to have a diversity of experiences around your occupational specialty. And, you know, for me, I've been on the ground side working with vehicles. I've taught logistics at a schoolhouse. I've been on the aviation wing. So it's really interesting to hear from these people and student peers that have had work experiences in a very specific job in a very specific field. And they just have this limitless knowledge and what they've done in those careers. It's interesting to hear somebody that has just such a long experience in that and kind of getting from them, hey, this is what it looks like on our side. It's very helpful for both of us. I think it's a mutual benefit for them and us.
Now you gentlemen are going to graduate from the fellowship program here in 2024. What are the takeaways from this experience that you're going to bring back to the Marine Corps? And how do you think what you've learned is going to enhance or affect the U.S. Marine Corps' military operations and capabilities?
I'll try to answer that the best that I can. So Sean and I just found out where we're going to next. I'll be going down to Logistics Command in Albany, Georgia, and he'll be going to installation and logistics in D.C. So we have the opportunity to operate at the strategic level where we can implement some of the procedures and concepts that we have learned here. Depends on what portfolio that we'll get. You know, if we're in sustainment, we're looking at global supply chain and networks or webs and all that, then we can focus what we learned here on that portfolio. If we're looking at inventory management and accountability or demand forecasting, it's going to depend on when we get to our next unit on which concepts we can apply. But I will tell you, though, just from an integration, when you look at CPFR and bringing in different elements and departments into a process to make the supply chain better, just one example, are things that I think from a military perspective, we can definitely take from Walmart and other corporations that have utilized it to make the processes better. And then just from resiliency and agility in the supply chain and how we execute that across the globe is I know we're going to get into later. Is definitely something that definitely needs, from my perspective, improvement as we are looking at improving it over the last 5 years.
I'll add too, I spent so much time just kind of doing tactical level stuff. The curriculum here really excels at taking a concept and saying, here's what this concept is and you need to understand it broadly, and then giving you the skills to meet some of the elements of that concept. You know, for example, we want to talk about optimizing a supply chain network. You know, you understand, hey, what does it mean to pick the right supply chain partners? How do you make your distribution networks correct? You know, what are the good ways to do that? And then you get some of the skills that we've never touched. You know, you may not touch it over 16 years in the Marine Corps. Like, here's how you can do, you know, a linear model that helps you optimize that. Here are some skills that, you know, will allow you some tools and frameworks that you can pick the right partners from. Here are some ways that you can help manage, you know, a tier 3 supplier, tier 2 supplier. And those skill sets, I mean, you think about the position I'm going to next. I'll be going to installations and logistics at Headquarters Marine Corps. And those things in the corporate world, that is what makes successful supply chains. And I think that's a tremendous value.
Now, I know both of you gentlemen, we were talking just about graduation. You're both in the process of researching and writing your master's theses. Without betraying too much confidence or getting us into trouble, can you just talk about the subject matter that you've chosen and how you are planning on attacking that particular topic and what you hope to have as an end result?
We've been thinking a lot about Industry 5.0, and one of the kind of the best part about this experience here is we've been exposed to so many of the emerging trends that supply chains have learned and throughout academia and the corporate world that we say, hey, well, how can we bring this to the Marine Corps? You know, how does an organization like the Marine Corps remain on competitive advantage by taking some of the things companies like Walmart have done, you know? And what we've said is, okay, Industry 5.0, we've done a lot of these things, but are we man trained and equipped? Are we optimized personnel wise through our training functions and our equipment and gear set to actually be able to deploy this the way we should? So the questions that we're seeking to answer is, you know, what does the Industry 5.0 Marine look like? What skills do we maybe not have that we need to start developing and get better at to operate in this changed environment, to use these tools like AI, machine learning, additive manufacturing, digital twins that we can stress test our supply chains? What kind of Marine do we need for that? What are, given the budget that we have and the constraints to operate, you know, what do we need to do? What can we make our dollar the most effective if we purchase, you know, what programs are going to be the best? And I think that's one of the focuses.
You pick a topic yet, Adam? Or
so we're working on the paper together.
Oh, nice.
And just to add on that, as I mentioned earlier, coming from a combat logistics battalion, we worked on autonomous drones. Our sister battalions were working on autonomous boats and things like that. And our training was limited. Our equipment was limited. So we're looking at from a lens as we move forward and, you know, contested environments against near peer adversaries, it's critical that we adopt and adapt to these emerging technologies from a Marine Corps perspective. And we're going to research on what we currently have, how it's man trained and equipped, as Sean mentioned, to see if we're postured for success in the future.
I'm not even sure what a peer adversary is anymore. You know, so as you both know, I'm a former Army officer and I'm old. And so my training was all about the Soviet Union, right, and defending the Fulda Gap against, you know, very traditional, that none of that applies anymore, right? Now, you know, we watch TV, we watch the conflict in the Ukraine, the use of drones, the use of crowdsourced videos to identify, like, to me, it's just, so much has changed just in my lifetime. And I was actually an Army officer not that long ago, right? I mean, more than a decade now, but it's amazing like how much has changed. So I'm not even sure what a peer adversary is anymore, right? Or even if there is such a thing. So I know you gentlemen know this because you're registered for it. We've got the CSCR is hosting a leaders forum about agile supply chains. And I can't help but think that this directly relates to what you're doing here and take backs to the Marine Corps. Can you share what you think about supply chain agility and how that applies from a military standpoint?
To answer your question, the need for agility in the supply chain is critical to operational success. I mean, due to the rapid technological advances, the contested environment that we're more likely to fight in if we go into a conflict, ever-evolving threats, the traditional supply chain is almost inadequate. The old hub and spoke model that's linear, you know, as we look at a supply web now, the, you know, interrelated connections that allow provide flexibility and different distribution options are where we need to be at. And with those benefits of the agility, it allows us to increase our mission readiness to respond. It increases our operational tempo. It reduces the vulnerability by having multiple suppliers and partner relationships across the globe. So there's many benefits of it. And I think we've learned throughout you know, the last 20 years in wars in the Middle East, we're able to pretty much put logistics and supply wherever we wanted. That's not the case anymore. And having an agile supply chain that's interconnected, whether it's software, technology, partner nations, you name it, to be able to reach out and have stuff now is critical to us being successful. Or it slows operational tempo in operations. Now that's from a conflict perspective. Obviously, from a disruption perspective as well, we learned during COVID that we needed to increase our agility from whether it was getting our vaccines in, our PPE equipment, just basic things we needed. And we've adapted to that. And we have a plan from, at least from the Marine Corps side, Installations Logistics 2030, that gets after creating a lot of these things to ensure that we're agile for a future fight if that does happen.
Kind of looking at it, I had the opportunity to attend the last Supply Chain Leaders Forum that happened here at Penn State, and it was just a fantastic experience just to see some of these organizations and the creative ways they're using, you know, talent and technologies and new processes to make their supply chains more agile. You know, to use an old Haggard tagline, the Marine Corps needs to be the most ready when the world is the least ready, and it's one of those things that Our success, obviously, we spend a lot of time figuring out how we can be more efficient in day-to-day operations and in garrison. But for us, agility is what our call tag is. We need to be able to be ready to go. And we've been successful for many years using tried and true practices, you know, creating redundancy, creating, you know, lean methods and just muscling our way to make things happen. But there's just so many, we are failing ourselves if we don't continually to look to, you know, industry and academic partners to say, how we can do this better in the future? What are the new things that we have not yet tapped into? And this forum, a great opportunity for us to digest some of that, make some contacts and find ways that we can make ourselves better.
I would have to assume just this is more of an outside person looking in, is that the United States Marine Corps needs to be the most agile of all the services just based on the mission and what you're required to do. So I could see where it kind of fits. Not that the other services don't need to be agile. Of course they do, but you particularly, you're always on the balls of your feet, right? From a mission standpoint. As you look ahead to the mission of what the Marines actually do, how do you envision taking your experience and knowledge that you gain here, the thesis that you're writing, your interaction with others, to create a more agile supply chain for the Marine Corps? Like, how do you see translating that new knowledge and experience back into just the specific ability to be more agile?
Or my next job, kind of, as I mentioned, is a very headquarters job. I'll be going up to look at kind of the corporate level, enterprise level of the Marine Corps, and we'll be looking at programs. And we say, hey, what do we acquire that makes us there? So, you know, the exposure to some of the capabilities, I think, allows us to shop around for, you know, best in class things and optimize practices. One of the things that I think would have been the most beneficial to me since I've been here that I see the immediate application for is kind of the intersectionality of the science behind supply chain management. We do a lot of art and, you know, the art of it, like what's the operationalization of it. And when we talk about it in doctrine in the Marine Corps, but here there's really Penn State, the program here has a fantastic way of creating scientific methods to say, hey, this is what the research says. This is the research way that has proven this is a method that you can take. So you look at something like network optimization. A lot of times we find ourselves as Marines, well, hey, let's figure it out. Let's muscle this thing in and let's make it work. And we'll use the austere resources that we have to make this thing function. But there's all sorts of tools out there. You look at things like GAMS that I didn't know existed. You know, there's ways that you can do this with finesse and save the Marine Corps money and create a more agile supply chain by making better use of resources. And that, to me, is the most applicable skill set I've picked up so far.
I would just like to add, the Marine Corps sent us here for a reason, and they want essentially a payback with the education that we received here. And they're strategically putting us in places where we can make impacts. And taking the knowledge that we learned here from whether it's data analytics or demand forecasting, wherever that is, and whatever portfolio we have, is how I think we can create change and discuss the things that we learned here and the concepts to put it into the procedures that are now. Because a lot of times you have, just like any other organization, you have a silo of thinking or decision making, and bringing that all together with what we learned here to see what right can look like and apply that to the military supply chain is crucial. And that, I think that's what Sean and I both look forward to doing after leaving here.
Well, I'm glad you brought up return on investment. So I'm going to make a shameless plug here. I hope this podcast ends up on General Banta's laptop sometime. Hey, look, you know, he's the one who sent you here, I assume, right? At some point, buck stops somewhere. And for those of you who don't know, General Banta is the Deputy Commandant for Installation and Logistics for the United States Marine Corps. I have never met him, but I heard nice things about him. I did know pretty much the last five DCILs, and I think four of those five were all graduates of this program. So we have a bit of a track record with that status. But I hope this ends up on his desk so he can actually hear that you gentlemen weren't just here on vacation in beautiful State College, Pennsylvania. You're actually doing some really hard work, and you're bringing some real cool skill sets back to the United States Marine Corps when you're done. I want to turn it back over to you for some final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners, anything that I didn't ask or anything that you would like to add to the flavor of this podcast.
I'll go ahead and start. One, just thanks for having us on. And again, this has been an amazing opportunity. I would just say to the listeners, you know, always focus on improving the supply chain, making things better. Don't accept things the way they are. And your recommendations matter. I think the creativity and the innovation moving forward are crucial to us getting better and being agile in everything that we do.
Thing I'd like to add in, just, you know, coming to Penn State, and the day I found out I was coming to Penn State was one of the coolest moments in my Marine Corps career. And that's on top of deployments, that's on top of swimming off the back of an LHD in the middle of the South China Sea. Coming here was so exciting because, you know, hey, this is an elite program. You know, this is a supply chain degree from here means something to people. And the value that you get out of this has immediate return on investment and future return on investment that I probably haven't even realized in the future, too. And coming here, I've found out very quickly why. It's the program. It's the staff. They've been super welcoming to us. And just the amount of information that I've been able to learn over the course of a year that they've helped me get to, I can't say enough. Like the things that I'm able to use in a sentence and talk about comfortably now, I didn't even know existed last year at this time when I was worried about, like, you know, Marines dental readiness across Marine Corps Station New River. So kudos to the team here and just a fantastic opportunity for both of us.
So when I got selected, similar to Sean, I had some people call me and they said, hey, be a B student, take some time off, just relax when you get there. And you know, you think about that, and as soon as you get here, you do quite the opposite, because it's such a great education from the faculty and staff that you just want to get more and more and more. So I just appreciate everything that this institution has given to us, and we look forward to the next 5 or 6 months here.
Well, I know by experience, because I've had all of the Marine Corps fellows for the last 8-9 years in my class, there is no relaxing in Professor Tracy's class, right? And I see you both laughing as I say that.
We know that.
You're in graduate school, right? This is chess. This ain't checkers. So, and I'm pretty sure my colleagues, again, who are all graduate faculty, you know, it's the same experience. So whoever told you that, Adam, really came from a very naive perspective of what it's like to be in grad school. My final thoughts in closing here, we are certainly very proud of all of our master's degree of supply chain management graduates, but we're particularly proud of our Marine Corps fellows as a cohort, again, going back many, many years. They've all been wonderful people to have here. They've all done great work. They've all gone back into the Marine Corps. Again, I talked about the track record for promotion within the Marine Corps, having gotten their degrees here. And I know that they've all done great work in the Marine Corps too. We love to keep in touch, and I'm still in touch with many of our former Marine Corps fellows. For our podcast audience, again, just to remind you, today's guests were Lieutenant Colonel Michael Adam Taylor. He goes by Adam. He's a University of West Florida graduate and soon to be a graduate of Penn State University. So he's going to have his Penn State pedigree. And Major Sean O'Rourke, who's a graduate of Minnesota. Again, going back into the Marine Corps as well, soon to be a graduate of our master's degree program. Gentlemen, thank you for your service to the country again. Thank you for joining us today. And soon to be congratulations on being graduate Marine Corps fellows and master's degree holders from the Smeal College of Business and the Department of Supply Chain Information Systems.
Thanks again for having us. This is great.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Penn State Supply Chain Podcast, brought to you by the Center for Supply Chain Research at Penn State. For information about our sponsorship opportunities, research needs, and professional development offerings, please visit smeal.psu.edu/CSCR.